I'm going to do that. Luckily, this happened to a partner and not to a customer. Okay, so let's take a look at the role. So I take a specific role, and then the Gravity Authorities customization will fill. And where you can see that in the items, in the item customization, we have now these new capabilities which you can check. But by default, they're not checked. So your attachment capabilities will not work, meaning that nobody can do anything with attachments when you install 3.0. All right. Then we are looking at some analytics improvements. So you can refine analytics based on tagging. And let me show that. So let me just go to our help desk. All right, so this is, let's say, the Gravity view. It is now also possible to directly jump to analytics from a filter. So for example, if I say, okay, let me show all open issues in here, I can click on the analytics filter and it will bring this filter inside analytics. So now I can see what is happening with what is the let's say the divide in a graphical way based on priority or on type or where these items are currently at. Wonder why it keeps spinning. Let me just refresh this. I'm not sure if I already loaded this help desk with the latest version. Yeah. Okay. So So here we have the Gravity items. And now I can refine this by using tags. So for example, if I take a look at all these items, let's see, I have 812 resolved items, but maybe I want to see, okay, what is, what does this give me, with a specific tag, active? For example, I want to see everything that is in TDOMS version 10.0, milestone 1. So now it will refine everything that has this tag, and I can see the analytics based on this tag. And I can add multiple tags to refine my analytics more and more. There was some other refinements also in analytics, but I leave you with the new and noteworthy to take a look at that yourself. All right, so analytics filter over here, and then a tagging in the analytics page itself. Okay, so we have the Gravity clients are now shipping with the Java 8 runtime. Okay, so for some customers, they start with Gravity, and then at some point they say, well, maybe we didn't start right, or we started with too much enthusiasm, so we have created, I don't know, epics and user stories and backlogs and issues and tasks and, you know, many, many different items. And finally, they find, okay, I'm not really using all these things. So getting rid of these items was quite cumbersome because you have to do that, let's say, one by one. But we have now created a purge action in Gravity to be able to purge a filter. So if you go to the Gravity Work Management, and this only works when you're logged in with admin, you can open, you can create a filter that contains your specific request. For example, let's say I want to get rid of all my issues or all the issues of a specific user. I can then right click here and say purge. And it will get rid of all the items in that filter. So it's a, let's say, mass delete option. And we're also refining this purge to be run standalone. So you can say, well, every month I want to delete everything that is older than 10 years, something like that, right? So that is to come. And this is now available in Mastodon 1, the purge action. Another thing that we have in the item type is of in the Gravity is changing item types. Sometimes you see, okay, they started with an issue, but it should really be a task, etc. So we change item type. You can change the type of an item to something else. For example, this is now an issue. I'm not sure if I can do it here. Yeah, change type. Okay, I want to change this type to something else, right? So I'm not going to do that, obviously. But you can use this to move an item to a different type if that is if that's the case. And you can also do that on a filter. So say, for example, you have tasks and you say, well, I don't want to use it or bugs. And you don't want to use the term bugs anymore, but you want to use the term issues. You create a new type issue. You make a filter for all your bugs. You right click, and then you can move all your Gravity bugs to rename them to issues. Well, it's one of the things this is one of the use cases, right? Okay, so we have LDAP synchronization. So with LDAP, you don't have to put in the user into Gravity yourself. You hook to an LDAP, and then you can the user can just type their network name and password, and Gravity will then take a look at the LDAP and create the user inside Gravity. Let's say copy in the main attributes, and then allow the user access to Gravity. But of course, then when people leave, they still have their user profiles in Gravity, which is not wanted. So now we can synchronize the LDAP with Gravity, and any items that are of any users that are no longer in the LDAP anymore are then able to be purged. So we will purge them if possible, right? Sometimes they have they hold on to items or anything, so they own stuff. Then we can delete them, but then we will flag them as disabled. About the LDAP, Laura has found a way to use the IBM I as an LDAP. That is quite interesting. Every IBM I basically already is an LDAP. So you can just hook Gravity into your IBM I user profile scheme so that people can just log on with the username and password. Laura, do you want to add something to that?
Just that it was very easy to set up. The one issue, though, but I think this resolves it, is the syncing of email address changes and stuff.
Right.
And I think that was the only issue that we had. But otherwise, it was easy to set up, and it works.
Yeah, excellent. And so that's for people who want to have, use my IBM I. So basically, you want to only manage your users on one central place. And this is a great option. So, when we have, I don't know, we said we were going to document this, Laura. Did we do that in the end?
I have some screenshots. I haven't formally documented it, but I can.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm not meant that you should do it, but I think we should make some reference. But maybe we can do that in the next milestone.
Yeah, we started the documentation, just didn't finish.
Okay, excellent. So if people are want to work with that, then we can then give us a call, and then we can finalize that the documentation. Okay, some refinements on the authorization view for finding specific stuff. For example, if you have many stages and you want people to say, well, you only have read access on your stage, then sometimes it is hard to find all the items that you want to authorize, right? So let me elaborate on that a little bit. So if I go back to my Gravity user admin and I take my user role again, then I can have, for example, on my stages. Okay, so well, this is quite small, this list, but it can be really big, right? So you can say, well, I want people to have read access on all the stages except on these stages. And then to find a stage, it can be hard, but using this filter and this search box, you can actually find your stages a lot easier. And it's not only works for stages, it works also for all other tabs. Okay, so we have done some work in the templates. Olaf, yeah, the Gravity Launcher. I was looking at who Skyped me, but that was Olaf. So, I will send you that launcher, Olaf. It works for V2 as well, yeah. The master templates, we had some difficulties with that when they were out of sync or you accidentally removed the template. So we now have made some improvements on this to be able to reload your templates. We also had a problem where you would put a workflow topic on an event. For example, you say in the workflow, when somebody enters this workflow, send out this event, but it would not actually do it. So that is why we changed the database. One of the reasons why we changed the database, there was a bug in the database that the topics would get lost. So we took the opportunity to also improve this a little bit. For example, when you use a Gravity workflow item, Gravity workflow topic, it will tell you where it actually is defined on what stage. So it helps you find the location of the topic quicker. So there are also a lot of smaller bugs. You can go through them. What you see actually here, this I1649, this is our internal issue. So we are thinking about also opening up our internal issue database so that we can put links in here so that people can actually go in and take a look at what the developers are communicating about. But these are the ticket numbers that we reference. Just skip through them. If you have any questions about any specifics, then we are happy to elaborate a little bit more on those. About this one thing that I did not see here, which is really maybe not just finished, but we have already shipped it. And that is a refinement on our roles. And let me see if I can. So maybe I can elaborate or explain a little bit about the roles and the groups over here. So we have in Gravity, we have users, right? So people that are that have an account in Gravity. So these are all the people that are assigned to that have an account in our Gravity help desk and our community help desk. And we want to give these people a specific, level of access with Gravity, right? A certain capability. So for that, we make a role. And in the role, we tell we tick what users can do. For example, in the user role, let me go in here to the items. Okay, if you are in this role, you can add an attachment, add a comment, all those fine-grained authorities can be found here. You can assign a user to a role. And that is something that you normally would not do. Eh? So normally you would first create a group. For example, we have a group users over here. And this group users contains all the Gravity users. And then inside the group, you would say, okay, users have this specific role. Roles are stacked, so you can say, okay, the user has a these users have the user role, meaning these capabilities, and you can say there's a specific role that is called planners. And if we take a look at the planners role, you can see that the item capabilities is that the planners, they can change the dates and the description and the severity. And this is assigned to the remain employees. But if I take a look at the user, all the remain employees also have all the capabilities in the user role. So this is stacked. It means that the remain employees, they have the user roles, and they have all the capabilities that are defined in the planner role. So you can make a fine-grained authority, for example, planners, and only specify some specific capabilities, and then assign them separately. So, for example, you could work with this in your attachment role. You could make a role called attachers or something like that, and then only specify the attachment capabilities for that specific role, and then assign the people to who you want to have attachment capabilities. Right. But this was always fixed, right? So you could say here, for example, if I want people to have a workflow capability, so be able to travel through the workflow, then it would be, okay, these users can travel through the workflow or they cannot travel through the workflow. But I could not say, well, based on a specific role that the user has with the item, right? So, for example, when would I want people to do planning? For example, when they are assigned to that task. And in a role, I can now also add a specific type, which is called the item assignee. And only if you are assigned to the item, then you have this specific role. So it will make it easier to say, okay, to allow specific people that have a special role in the item to have additional capabilities based on top of what they already have as a user or as a group. So these ones were already here, and now we have added these roles, creator, reporter, and the assignee. And then you can also add a group. For example, everybody that is in the followed by group, or everybody that is in the item owner group, right? So you can make a special group, add people in that group, and then assign them special authorities based on the fact if they are in the group or if they are not in that group. So yeah, this is still under development. We're looking forward to make this available as well. Well, it is available, but a little bit below the radar. But if you want to play with it, be our guest, and we are looking forward to your experiences. So this is and we are working towards a system where you can make comments of a specific type, for example, internal comments that can be read by your development team, but not by, let's say, your customers, right? So you could make you can have some private information or confidential information inside an item. For example, some customers, they hesitate to put a job log in the help desk because they can see, well, everybody can read a job log. I'm not sure if we really want that. And in this case, they can say, well, this is a job log only for the eyes of the remain employees and my people. So this is Gravity. Do you have questions about this? All right, let's see.
Clear as mud.
Okay. Okay, excellent. All right.
From the EclipseCon, remember?
Yeah. I remember, yeah. What is his name? Jason. From Bird.
The Bird Guru.
Exactly. Okay, so let's jump into TDOMS milestone 1, version 10. So we're working towards version 10.1. Now we have version 10.0 milestone 1. It runs in the same scheme as Gravity. So we have 3 fixed milestone dates and 1 release date. Last Wednesday we had the milestone date for Gravity. The next one will be February 28th. This is when we will deliver milestone 2. We have been making some ILE check utilities where you say, well, I am transferring a service program through the cycle, there are some associated programs that are using the service program, but that are not in the task, right? So it is possible that maybe you change the procedure interface and the program then must know about this, right? So this is quite a course, and we will be making some more fine-grained checks in the next milestone. Where you can actually also take a look at the signature or at the procedure interface to see if there is really a problem, right? So now it says, okay, it assumes that there is a problem. It does not need to be, and then you can confirm and then press next to override it if you have authority. In the template editor, we have made... Olaf has a question. Yeah, so Olaf, that is another thing that is in the that is still also in milestone 2, planned for milestone 2 at least, is the capability here to say, well, okay, we found that there are some potential problems, and then allow the user here to directly attach these items to a task. Okay, so this is and not only for these types, but also, for example, for files, when you put a file in production or in the next environment, and TDOMS sees, hey, there's a program that that references this file, that will have a level check to be able to automatically connect it. So that would indeed be from this screen, Olaf. Yeah, that's correct. So that is in the planning. Okay, I don't know if you already have seen our template editor. It's really nice. The template editor enables you to quickly create a program. So let me just dive in this. So I am going to go to my task filter. And I'm currently working on this one. Let's see. So if I want to create a new object, I can do it by doing, create a new object. And it will open all the available templates. So if I want to make a new, let's say, RPG LE module, I can choose out of any of these templates. And each of these templates can have a different target source file, a different program name to start with. So these are templates that you can use to create a new object. Now, what we have done, we have made a context menu over here so that you can immediately say, okay, I want to change this template. It used to be that you have to go here and then say, okay, I want to change it. But now we have this context menu to change that specific item. And you can see that there is a template for this one. This is based on the object type. This is a tree list. I can also make a flat list out of it to find my template and then use any search to find the module that the template that I want to use to create a new object. And in addition, we have made double click. So if I now double click on this line, it will bring me to the next screen where I have to put in, okay, what then is the name of this object and what is the description, and then press enter to actually create the object, right? So with double click, it used to go here, SQL insert script, next. So that was a little bit tedious. In addition, what we have made is that you can now right-click on this one and say New and then Object and then find all the templates directly here. So, yeah, I want to make a new physical file. And then it will pop up my Create Template straight away. File X, I will call this. New File. And open the editor on this thing. So this is how we can create a new object really quick. Okay, so it's also immediately attached to my fix. So let me just disconnect that thing and get rid of it. Okay, that was creating a new file based on the templates. In the pipeline for this is to be able to have substitution variables in the source. So you can directly say, okay, program name, ampersand object code, and during the generation, it will then replace the object code name for that variable. So we're looking forward to put that in as well. Okay, so this is this list as I was talking about. Oh yeah, so filter by task. So I'm in this list and I want to take a look at my TDOMS objects. Okay, a filter is active. You can see this mini message, meaning that the current filter is currently active. So let me just disable that and to find all the objects. Okay, you know that you can filter over here, type some text. For example, I could type again module and then find everything that has the word module in it. Or if I want to make a filter, I could say, well, show me in this selection only the files. Well, there are no files. Let me then just find the programs here. So now I have a hot filter selecting only the programs and that contains something with module. So that is this list, right? So it helps you to quickly find your components. But sometimes it is also convenient to work with the objects of the task. So now if I, for example, find all my objects again, you can see I'm working on this task 29. I only want to see the objects that are in this task. So for that, I can now click the task icon and it will only show the objects with these names, right? So these are the ones. And now I can just see, okay, did I get all the dependencies of this component? So yeah, you can then, it's more convenient to analyze some in-depth task stuff, right? So this is this icon really convenient. We also had it in the green screen option 50. So this is the equivalent for that. Okay. Now we're getting towards the more noteworthy, or that would go into external blogs and stuff like that. Working towards the new integration framework that we have created. Of course, we were hoping that everybody would use Gravity TDOMS and then be done with it. But unfortunately, we found that people are using all kinds of tracking systems. And we are getting request on request. Yeah, this is a great system, TDOMS. I like Gravity, but we are using, and then Jira or ServiceNow or GitHub or whatever. Can you make an interface with that system? And of course, we do want to do that. But we found after one or three of these interfaces, okay, we are reinventing the wheel, because basically what we will see is that this system has tickets or whatever, issues or items or whatever they want to call them. They have filtering and they need to be connected to a TDOMS task in some way, right? So there are some high-level abstract ideas about every ticket system that we have factored out in a framework. And this is the item framework, as we call it internally. And we have created some some integrations, and one of the let's say more popular ones, of course, is the GitHub integration, where we are able to interface with GitHub. So let me see how this works. Let me show you how this works. Basically, you go to GitHub, let me just put F11 in here. And let me just go to GitHub, github.com. I'm logged in with my profile. I have some organizations. For example, we have Remain Software, or let's say, do we have it? No, okay, well, let's go to Remain Software. Inside Remain Software, we have some repositories. For example, this one, RDI article. And this RDI article has zero issues at the moment. But I can make a connection with GitHub, and then let's say work with this specific repository, and then manage the issues and the pull request in this repository. So let's find the address. So I'm copying the address of this repository over here. Then I can go to my TDOMS GitHub integration. And I can create a new repository. So there's already one repository loaded, but I can create a new repository here. Okay. Interesting. So I will give it a name. Let's say it was this URL, RDI article. So let me call this RDI article. And then I have to log in with my username and password. So now I have my RDI article repository loaded inside GitHub. And what I can do now is I can make a filter. These are the filters that are specified on the high level. So all open issues and my issues. So those are all empty. But if I now make an issue inside this RDI article, this is called RDI article. So let's say, please translate to, German. And then I can put in some text here and submit a new issue. So now I have one issue. And if I go back to my repository and open my all open issues, you can see, okay, I have this translate to German GitHub issue in my repository. And if this is something that I want to work on, let's say with TDOMS, I can right click here and I can say link this to a task. So let's make a new task in the demo application. Please translate to German. Okay, so this issue is now connected to that TDOMS task. So there's one linked task in here, 3109. And if I actually go to my task in here, in demo 3109, please translate to German, you can see this is now the task. And if I open this up, it will find... that there is a GitHub issue attached to this task. Okay, so this is the back and forth between the issue system. And this is how all our integrations are going to work. You can see that we have Jira here still. That was the one that we created without that mechanism. We still have to convert this. But the idea is you will only see a link if there is an issue for that system, right? So you can see, okay, there's now one GitHub issue, but there could also be a Gravity issue or a ServiceNow issue or a Jira issue. So this is how that mechanism works. And this is, of course, especially useful for people that are going to use our Git interface. It's then convenient to have to work with GitHub to store the repository there, and then have the GitHub issue integration and also the GitHub Git integration. But more about Git in a couple of minutes. Okay, so this is the GitHub integration. We also have a ServiceNow integration. ServiceNow is a really, extended service management system. We have also created a integration with ServiceNow in the same way that we have done that with GitHub. By the way, let me just quickly show you have now these two default filters, but you can also make new search filters for example, all bugs, where you can say, okay, where the label is bug, for example. And so this is how you would create a filter. You could also test that filter over here. Zero items returned because there are no bugs. But if I go into my GitHub, I can label this with bug, for example. So it's now labeled bug. And if I go back to my Gravity list, it would actually show that label. So this is how all the systems work, and to organize work, you could say, well, okay, this is a label TDOMS, so that would only show up inside TDOMS if it is related to any tasks that we have. Okay, and in the meantime, if you have questions, please don't hesitate and just ask them. Okay, some redesign of the dialogues and the wizards. So we have some usability enhancements. When you would have a few source in this list. So let me find a source here. So I could now say a few source, and the few source will actually now pop up the LPEX editor if it is available. And if I double click the item, it will also show the source, right? So this is a really nice shortcut to looking at the source, right? Because that's a double click action. So there's a question, Steve. Is your RPG source in the IFS or in source members when using GitHub? I will get to that, Steve. So that is one of the topics that are still pending. Okay, so and also the question was from users when they did when you edit with LPEX and the copybooks are not resolved. Let me just show you that in one of the issues over here. So if I take, for example, this module, sometimes you see this remark stating that you are not, that I cannot find this copybook. This is because the library list is not set correctly. So for that, you could go to your task here and say, what could you see? RSE actions, and then set library list to resolve that. But you can now do that straight from the source, right? So set library list here, and then it will set the library list, and you are all good to go. The new task wizard also a lot faster. So if I do now new task, it will pop up immediately. All the things are now also on one page. So if I, all the important stuff. So if I now say create task, I'm done with that immediately. So it's much faster. A new report for the object history. So we have already object history, of course, in the graphical user interface, but it is now also available on a report. We have moved the impact analysis and the hour registration inside the kernel. So that used to be different libraries. That was too much hassle for us. So we have put all those code inside one library for future customers. New exit, user exit program. So read this. So if you have stacked applications like version 1, version 2, version 3, sometimes if we connect an object, we can automatically detect previous versions, but they would not be automatically attached to a task. And with this new exit program, this will happen automatically. So take a look at it if this is interesting for you. We have added new substitution for eyeballs for people that make actions and exit programs. They are identified on the wiki. And this was one of the things that we have to use when working with Git on objects that on sources that you want to store in the integrated file system. Okay, so these are part of that effort to get a really clean workflow with Git, TDOMS, IVS stored sources. And these were added for that purpose. Okay, so then we have the Git interface. This is the last big thing that I want to show you in the new and noteworthy, and to give you a little overview on how this works, right? So, this is the Git interface. And before I continue with that thing, this is the last step. There are some other issues resolved. So just take a look at those if you are interested. Those are really the minor things, but even the minor things were reported by you or by a customer, right? So wherever it was reported by you or by a customer, we have put that inside the issue, inside the help desk issue, and told you, okay, this one is specifically fixed. So these are those smaller issues. Okay, let's take a look at the Git interface. When you want to work with the Git interface, it is fine. You can just start working with it. We have made a document, a manual in the wiki that will show you step by step how to let Gravity work with Git. TDOMS work with Git. If I do this here, let me just go back and go to my. So in the main page, we have in the hot topics we have the Git manual. But if you, this is the manual. This is the page where everybody lands on. And inside here we have also Git. Didn't we put it here? Okay, I will make sure to put it. Oh, wait a minute. I think it was not yet translated here. Okay, well, it says GitHub, but not yet Git. We forgot to put it here. But anyway, if you type Git here, then you will directly go to the Git manual. Okay, so this manual has three main topics: getting started, how to, and the individual actions that you can work with. So this how to basically is telling you, okay, this is how you should do to work with Git. Git has two modes. It has a non-IBM I mode and it has an IBM I mode. So the non-IBM I is where you want to work with items using Git, but still want to use TDOMS for the deployment. Okay, so if you want to deploy to multiple machines, or you want to just make sure that the deployment is done with proper access, then you can use the non-IBM I, IBM I part to Let's say the non-IBM I in combination with the tasks to have a combination between Git and TDOMS. And the other connection is where you create a source repository, and a source repository basically is a term that we use to indicate that these are the RPG, DDS, etc. sources, which have a counterpart in a program object or a file object that also needs to be deployed, right? So when you are working with, for example, PHP, and you work with Git, we can connect that PHP object to the task as well for deployment. But if you are working with RPG and you work with RPG and Git in the IFS, and then you make the connection between Git and TDOMS, then we will connect the ILE component, but we will also connect the program, right? So that you are ready for deployment. And you can basically follow this. So it has all the screenshots. It says, okay, well, we are working from a Git demo application, which has this really basic development test production with three libraries, with a number of directories for PHP and for sources. And then, let's create the PHP repository with a step-by-step example. What you need to do to get all that stuff inside Git, in case you don't have anything in Git, you can use this to put some PHP sources in Git. And actually, we have also supplied a save file here that contains some test sources and test PHP components to get you started with this specific example, right? So you can make a really small application and then do some, and then follow this how-to to get an idea on how this works. And you can see, well, there's a lot of detailed things here. This is when people start from scratch, right? So I have never heard of Git. I have no Git repository. I don't know how to upload my sources to Git. Then you can follow this tutorial, and it will take you through all these steps and give you an idea on how this works. And in addition, we are working on a complete Git tutorial, Git on the IBM I. I have already done some tutorials for that for some US people. And we will be making this tutorial also available for everybody in the TDOMS community, right? So that they can start learning, okay, how to use Git and how to use Git in combination with TDOMS specifically. So you can follow this. So basically what you need to do is you need to connect your application, in this case, Git demo, with the remote repository, right? So this is what has been done here. And if you want to do it also with SCL, SQL sources, you also have to connect your source repository with the repository, for example, on GitHub, but it does not need to be on GitHub, can be on any server. And in addition, you have to tell TDOMS that this route, this Git demo RPG, is actually RPG and CL code, so that we can have an additional processing step to also connect the program objects and those kind of things, right? So just follow along, and I will give you a little demo in the right now on how this works. I am going to go to my green screen to do some preparations, because I want to load my stuff to the integrated file system. So I have created some directories in TDOMS, in the IFS, to hold my RPG sources. So let me just show you that in an application. We have created this Git demo application. Was it here? No, it was not here. It was in the demo. So this Git DM application, which is also in the how-to, is created here. It is really simple. If I go to my environment maintenance function, you can see development test production. Nothing exciting in here. Only one development environment with this IBM I library. With some directories. One directory which contains the PHP stuff, and one directory which contains RPG LE sources, right? So that sits in this route. So if I go to development and test and development and production, sorry, look the same. So if I now go to my production environment and use option 14 here, then you can see, okay, this is the production part of this of the source. So let me just copy this and then do a work link. And you can see that I have my sources over here. So QCL source, oops, option 5. So these are all the sources that are now in the IFS. And of course, your question is, how do I get my sources in the IFS? For that, we have created a command, and it is called initialize git OMS. It asks you to put in a application code, for example, demgt. Oh, no, what was it? Git dm. That was the name. And then you can specify some components of some flags, like here. This will put everything on the defaults. That's fine. If you want, you can also immediately upload that repository to GitHub, right? So you create a Git repository. If you put yes in here, it will create in that IFS directory a Git repository and push the sources straight to Git, to GitHub, or to any internal Git server that you might have, if you have already made the link. Otherwise, just leave everything as it is. If you press enter, it will copy all the sources into that IFS folder, and it will strip it from the date sequence, because yeah, who needs the date sequence, right? That's really old. So you can strip it or you can keep it. It just depends on how you want to do it. And if you have multiple source libraries, you can also use the library naming scheme. So you could, for example, say here in this production, it would say this source library, and then you could go in there, QCL source, Q command source, and all that kind of stuff, right? So this is to prepare for the sources going somewhere in a Git repository. And I say GitHub, but it doesn't need to be GitHub, can be any server. In fact, we will be also creating a tutorial on how to create a Git server on your IBM I. So the Git server is called GitBlit. And we have installed it on our IBM I. It works just fine. And it is a really nice open source Git server, so that you don't have to push your sources to GitHub. And by pushing your sources to GitHub, it means that you can pay money to have a private part in GitHub. Otherwise, they will be publicly visible. And I'm not sure if you want that. An alternative for GitHub is GitLab. A really great tool as well, and they provide free private hosting. But that information is also in the Git repository. Okay, so without any so let me just continue. Okay, so sorry, I'm so elaborate, but let's move back a little bit. Okay, so create an application. You already have the application, or create a new one. Then use ints git OMS to copy all the sources to the IFS. And now we need to upload those sources to the repository, right? So, well, we can do that by going to QShell, for example, and then go to that directory. Here we have our sources. And now I can say git init and all that kind of stuff. Git init, and then finally I can say git push to push my stuff to the remote repository, which we have done. I'm getting a notification from GoToMeeting. Am I lost? Did you guys lose me? Okay, I see Jerry. Okay, excellent. Okay, so going to Git, and I have already done that, of course, for this specific repository. So it sits here, git demo rpg. These are the sources, but now they are pushed to Git. So if I go to QCL source and then see my my fantastic sources over here. Okay, so fine. We have now put our sources from source file into the IFS, and we have pushed sources to a repository. And now we want to start working with that application. Okay, so let's see how this materializes in TD-OMIS. Okay, let me just get rid of all this stuff here and minimize. Okay, I think this is my system. Let me just... Yeah, just building this list. I'm working from home, so... Let me see if I have any questions in the meantime. Okay, Thierry, do you have some issues, or did you have some issues with CCS ID using Git? No, we didn't find any at the moment, but that does not mean that there will not be any issues. But I think this is basically how we need to convert the source file, and especially I think since you use the French code page, maybe we can have some troubles in here, but it could be, we didn't find anything. But it could be that there is something that we need to fix. But that is, yeah, that's, so if you want to, yeah, we need to find first issues before we can solve them. But we have looked at it. And from our point of view, everything looks fine. There are some things that are a little bit, you know, when people want to put in 50-to-50 control coders in the source, of course, that will not fly with IFS, right? So that gets converted to, I think, I don't know, but that gets converted to some other characters that are really not... Yeah, that you really should not want in your source, but anyway. So those are. Yeah, I don't know if you know when people have the red comments or the highlighted comments and stuff like that. So these are 50-to-50 codes that should really not be in a source file. Okay, let me take a look at my Plato system. Okay, so this is working with OMS demo database. So this one I can work with. So let me see. Let's make a new task filter for my Git demo application. And basically, I want to see all tasks by all programmers. Okay, so I have one task. Let's see what I have in here. Okay, so I have to be careful not to take those components, but I take to take some others. So let's make a new task. Task 2. Okay, task 2 has been created. Excellent. So here we have it. Now, we can now work with TD-OMS as normal, right? So we have all our components. We can just, and it contains some PHP, and it contains some RPG. Basically, this is everything that is in the library and that is in the IFS directory. But we don't want to work with the source files anymore, right? We just want to work with the Git repository. So let's take a look at our PHP stuff for first, right? Also for this Remain software, we have the Git demo RPG, but we also have the Git demo PHP. So it used to be that if you want to work with TDOMS and PHP, you should have to do that in the IFS and then create tasks and etc. But now we have this variant that can use PHP. So I am going to now I want to work on my PHP stuff, right? So and so I go to my task and I have a new option here. It says Git. And you can see that I have two of my TDOMS routes attached to Git. Git knows of the Git interface knows, okay, there are two potential ways when two parts in TDOMS in that application that you can work with PHP and normal sources. So let's go to PHP first. Okay, the TDOMS sees that the repository that is associated with PHP is not yet on this PC, right? So it says, okay, do you want to clone the repository? So it goes to GitHub and it takes the repository and it copies that repository to this local PC. This is cloning. This is how Git works. Okay, so this repository is now cloned. And if I go to my Git repositories view, which sits in the back, I can see that I have now got this Git demo PHP. So this is how a developer would start. And this contains all of the PHP stuff that we are going to work with. Okay, so this is my repository. Now, the way that TDOMS and Git work together is loosely coupled on what we call, there are two main ways of working with Git. One is called GitFlow and the other is called GitHub Flow, which basically are the same. But they say people are not working in the master branch, right? So the master branch, that is the place where all the production code is, where everything that is tested goes. If you are working on a task, you are going to create a branch. This is the best practice in Git, and we have enforced this with TDOMS. So we can now say, okay, task two, go back to Git again, and now it knows that PHP has been cloned, and it says, okay, do you want to start this task? Now, you can start the task from any branch, but we will start the task from our master branch, right? So this is our begin situation. So now we have started the task, and if I go back to my Git repository, I can see that my task, my repository has now been associated with task 2 in my Git DM PHP application. Okay, so what will happen now is that what every Git developer will do is they will just import the projects. This is what the Git developers know to do. So let me see if I can do it like this. So import the project. The project is now available in their projects overview. Where is that thing? What name was that again? Called it was called Git Demo PHP. So let me just go into this one. So this is now how the developer of a PHP application will work, right? So it's just as usual. The only thing that the developer has done is, okay, there is a task in TDOMS. He says, okay, clone repository only one time and then start task. And this will put him in an environment, in a sandbox, where he can just start, or he or she can just start working on the components. For example, let me just take, not this one. Let me just take a... not this one as well. Let's just take, I don't know. Okay. I'm going to open this in my text editor. Okay, so I don't have PHP tools installed in here, but that could also be done. So yeah, let's now make a change here and say a new line of code. So if I now save this, and because of the attachment with TDOMS, we now know that because of the attachment below, let's say, the water, in the background, that's the correct term, in the background, all these components will be silently attached to the task, right? So people are just working with Git. They just save and copy. And in the meantime, we will take care that all these components are attached to the task. And then at some point when the programmer is ready, says, okay, I have done my work. He can go to the task and say, okay, I'm done with my task. Finish. And this will put, that's not correct. I have to push my changes first or commit my changes first. Okay, so that is, of course, a step that I forgot to mention. So let's take a look at our Git staging view. Do I have it here? Yes. So in the Git staging view, there is a Git box. We already pre-fill it, a commit box. We already pre-fill it with the task information so that the task is linked. And then I can put my code in here and I can say, okay, I fixed this and that. And then I can say commit. So this is basically the Git workflow, right? So the Git guys, they say, okay, change the file, stage it, push it, stage it, and push it. And then at some point, when they're done with their work in a separate branch, they can say, okay, Git PHP finish task. We can see that this was the file that was changed. Are you sure that this is the one that you want to keep? Yes. And then I can put in my Git credentials to push that change back to the master branch. And now TDOMS knows that this task is done. If we now take a look at the Git repository, we are back in the master branch. And one added benefit for this is that if I am now going to work on my task, and if I make a change, then it will tell you, okay, you are now in the master branch. You are not
email attachments. Das ist andersrum gedacht. Das ist für ausgehende Nachrichten gedacht, nicht für eingehende. Das heißt, wenn ich jetzt auf im
Fall. Okay. So this is not in the. This is not associated with the task, so we will prevent people to make changes in the master branch, right? So this will not continue. Okay, so this is how the non-IBMI part takes place in combination with the deployment of TDOMS, right? So now I can say, okay, this is fine. I have my PHP, and now I can do a move transfer and then deploy my components to test or to all other systems, or only deploy specific parts of that application. Okay, this is the non-IBMI part. Let's now move over to the IBMI part, where I want to manage my sources, my RPG LE sources. So I will make task 3, some program. Task 3 created, status new. So I'm going to create go to Git again and go to the source part. The sources, my RPGLE sources, they are on GitHub, but not yet on my local machine. So I'm going to clone this again. Okay, so in my Git repositories, I have now also a Git demo RPG. I can check out my projects or import my projects as usual. And now in my Project Explorer, I have all my RPG sources. So they are now sitting in my on my PC. one of the things that may that would maybe spook your customers a little bit is that if you are working with Git, then basically there are some ways to configure it, but basically all the developers have all the sources on their laptops, right? So this is the way how Git works. You clone a repository. If you work with 10 developers, every developer has the whole repository on their machine. And that is something that maybe the IBM I guys have to get used to. Okay, so let's start working and to see the differences between a PHP part and a RPG part. So I'm going to go to Git again and say start this task. I could have done it straight away when cloning. Maybe you have seen it, but for demonstration purposes, I will do this separately. So I will start the task based on master again, and I will now, if I now go to my Project Explorer, to my Git repository, I can see that my demo RPG has been associated with task 3. Okay, so everything that I now do in my project will arrive in my task 3. So let's take a look. So let me just try to fix this component. Okay, so I can now put in this code. Maybe I can make some additional line. Hello world. Okay, so this is just your basic changes. You can see it has been offered to the Git staging view to do commits, and the commit message was already filled in. And in the meantime, it was uploaded. This source was uploaded to the IFS. So it is now sitting in the IFS. And we know, because of the special connection, we know that we have this program that is compiled out of this source, and we will attach that program straight away. And okay, so we are now currently at this point. Some sources, for example, a particular CL, you cannot use CreateCL program. So let me show you CreateCL program F4. You cannot put an IFS source in here, right? So you can use it with TDOM as in Git, and we will then copy it to the source file and compile it from there. But if you have a create bound RPG, for example, then you can put in the source stream file directly in here. So there are two ways of working with TDOMS. Currently, what we will do, we will upload the source and then connect with a special connection, copy the source to a source file, and then compile it from the source file, the program. And the reason why we do this is because if you take a look at the program, so display program, for example, OMS run 51, and just I take one program over here, you can see that the source file and member is associated only from the source file, not from the IFS. So if you compile it from the IFS, you have lost that link. So yeah, for now, we copy the source to the from the IFS to a source file and compile it from there. You can also say, well, I don't want to do that connection. Basically, you can also say, well, I don't really even want you to put in a connection with the program because I will only be compiling. So I don't want to manage the RPG program. I just transfer my IFSCL program or RPG through the cycle, and then TDOMS will compile it from the IFS, and I don't even bother with having programs attached to my fix at all, right? So there are some new possibilities with this Git integration and moving it to the IFS. Okay, so, and then the thing works the same. So if I now say, okay, this is the change that I'm making, I will commit it to Git. And then if I'm done with my task, so the one last thing, really, I promise you. So I can create a new task in here. I can say task 4. Suppose there is some big work coming along, and my boss says, "Hey, you have to stop this work and you have to continue with task 4." So now I can go into Git and I can say here, source, start task, based on master or based on the work that I've done in task 3, but I will start from master because I want to have a separate side job. And now if I start working with my Git commands, So and now I want to make another change in this command. We have to fix this. What's going on here? Okay, this is the source. You can see my hello world comment is gone. Instead, I can say put in another comment. Goodbye, world. So I have now two separate, this was task 4. I'm working on two separate branches of the same component, right? So now I have, I'm working with on two tasks with separate branching, and because I now have this developer and that developer, they have a joint development environment. You get follow lead. But normally, if they have separate development environments, they can work on separate branches next to each other. So I can now switch back to my task 3, start working on this, switch to this task, or abandon it. And this is the way the Git interface works. So now we can start transferring this component to test and subsequently to production. Okay, so this is the this part of the this new functionality working with Git. So basically this is that part. Do you have questions about this? All right, so if there are no questions, maybe you have questions about some of the other issues. Of the other not issues, of the other enhancements, or some questions in general. All right, so if you don't have any questions, then I thank you very much for your attention. And hopefully I will see you downloading the software and trying it. I've known some of you have already installed Gravity and TDMS, so thank you for that. Let's see each other then at least the 28th of February when we have the next milestone. I hope you enjoyed it, and the video will be made available also so that you can take a look at that separately. I hope I wasn't too elaborate, but I was excited about this new functionality. All right. Take care and hope to see you next time.